Next question for Dr. Beard. Considering one-third of the U.S.-born Hispanics are marrying whites, creating biracial children, is it a threat or a Hispanization?
It's America. We, as persons of Mexican ancestry, we're probably the most mixed people that there are. You know, back in 7-Eleven, the Moors, which were Islamic, Mr. Taylor, they said, "Ojalá que Mohammed nos proteja." And some of them stayed in Spain after they occupied that Spain for 800 years. Then the Spaniards came here and met up with the Mexicas in the Caribbean, the Tainos, and forcibly or voluntarily, with a rape or romance, they made us. And I meet every other young student in my class, especially people that are lighter skinned, and they always tell me they got a Cherokee grandmother in their background. I suppose if this is real good, we are becoming Americans, that perhaps will be the answer in the 21st century, that we're all so mixed together that we actually see each other as brothers and sisters.
Well, brothers and sisters, are we? Well, that's not always the way that Mr. Gutierrez has spoken. In fact, I don't know how he feels about this today, but as I understand, not some time ago, not all that long ago, he was talking about the process of clearing the southwest of the United States of white people so that it might be an all-Hispanic nation. And these are his words. We've got to eliminate the gringo. And what I mean by that is, if the worst comes the worst, we've got to kill him. That's pretty strong talk. Doesn't sound like much of any kind of brotherhood to me. As far as racial mixing is concerned, I think that every people should have the right, if they wish, to maintain their bloodlines, be they Hispanic, be they black, be they Asian, be they white. I don't look forward to the day when the entire world is some mishmash cafe au lait. I actually believe in diversity. I think that Japan, for example, wonderful country. I've spent many years there. The Japanese don't believe in diversity. They have the quaint notion they'd rather stay Japanese than become half Indonesian or Bangladeshi. They don't believe in this mestizaje or whatever it is, this mixing that goes on in Mexico. No, they like being Japanese, and I say God bless them. The whole notion that diversity means some kind of mixing things together, no, that destroys diversity. Diversity is distinctness here and there. And no, I don't want the United States to become a mirror image of any country, certainly not Mexico. As far as the Mexicans are concerned, yet another survey tells us that 58% of Mexicans believe that the southwestern part of the United States belongs to them, and that 57% think they can cross in any time without so much as an if you please or a by your leave. Is that a healthy state of mind? Do we want people like that coming into this country, becoming citizens, voting, maintaining their loyalties to a country that is not the country in which they're citizens and vote? Time.
Next question, Mr. Taylor. Do you feel that immigration reform is fueled by racism?
I think that immigration reform is fueled by an entirely healthy, natural, normal, and moral desire to preserve the ways of one's ancestors. If there were people from all around the world pouring into Mexico, transforming it culturally, linguistically, demographically, do you think the Mexicans wouldn't be interested in immigration reform? Of course they would. Mexicans have likewise this quaint notion. They'd like Mexico to stay Mexican. Well, God bless them. Why is it wrong for me to want America to stay America, as it has been for decades, centuries? No, immigration reform is the idea that my children and grandchildren will walk in the ways of my ancestors, that they will sing the songs that they sang, that they will think the thoughts they did, that there will be continuity, respect for the past, and hope for the future. No, I think immigration reform has to do with preserving what makes America a great thing, not diluting it, not saying, come on, come on, anybody, who cares? No, immigration should be in the interests of the United States. We don't owe a free lunch to anyone outside our borders. Immigration should be who is going to help our country and who will assimilate. And as I've said before, Mexicans, because of their historical grievances, because of the chip on the shoulder they have, they are least likely to integrate. And for that reason, I think they make the worst candidates for citizenship in the United States. Every nation that takes its sovereignty seriously controls its border, controls its population, and does not let itself be completely diluted and distracted by whatever whimsy of migration brings whatever tribe from whatever failed country into that nation. No. Immigration control is preservation of a nation's heritage, its history, its culture, and its people. It's obviously a fundamental right of any nation. Think about any other nation. Nigeria.
That's time, sir.
Dr. Gutierrez, 2 minutes.
Mr. Taylor heads up the New Century Foundation that receives money from the Pioneer Fund. Some of you people that have gray hair like me, you know about that. That's the eugenics movement back to the Nazi era. That's where he gets money from. To publish, among other things, his journal, American Renaissance. Now, he has no disclaimer, as some books and some magazines say, that these do not reflect the opinions, like this here at the beginning, of the speakers. He doesn't make any such disclaimer. So every word passes through his eyes and is approved by his pen. Let me give you a little taste. You can go there yourself. Use your search engine to get to American Renaissance and read this pseudoscience. American Renaissance, 1990, quote, nation is a uniform culture and racial heritage. A.R. 92, in his book, In Paid with Good Intentions, another one of his books, he advocates for Puerto Ricans and others the contraceptive Norplan for ghetto neighborhoods and welfare of others. American Renaissance, 1994. Nations are biological entities, not geographic areas. AR 2001, preach the gospel, but do not then marry your daughter or live beside you. Now, more recently here, when he got really rolling against Hispanics, he published it. These are 28, 32-page treatises. The myth of Hispanic family values. If you had Easter, you know how dead wrong he was. I mean, we pray to that barbecue altar with paquitas y cascarones. We go to church and wear the ceniza here and ashwandi and the palima and the pan. Forget it. He just needs to be Mexican for a little bit. December 2005, American Renaissance, the Rosa Parks Madness. Officer, the Rosa Park Madness. Officer, take care of this man.
That's time. Mr. Taylor,
2 minutes. Well, American Renaissance has probably published millions of words in its time. It's quite amusing to me that these are the most provocative things that Mr. Gutierrez can possibly find. The notion of nation being a biological entity is all part of its word itself. The word nation comes from the Latin, nacere, to be born. A nation, to have any sense of real unity, has to have a sense of family feeling, of being part of it, a big entity that's in it together. And that, of course, is why Mexicans who come to the United States still feel Mexican. They consider themselves a nation. The very thing that Mr. Gutierrez's friends are advocating is a nation based on bloodline. He should be the last person in the world to be wondering where that idea came from. Furthermore, this issue of Norplant. Yes, I wrote about Norplant in 1992. Not for Puerto Ricans in particular, not for blacks, not for anyone in particular, but those on welfare, on the assumption that anyone who is feeding at the public trough, who depends on your tax money simply to stay alive, does not have the right to bring yet more children in the world for you to house, to feed, to clothe, to try to educate. No, that should not be your duty. If you are dependent on society for your groceries, for the roof over your head, no, I'm sorry, for as long as you are dependent on society's handouts, you should not have the right to have 3 or 4 more children. And in fact, the United States Congress agrees. In the welfare reform, they decided, no, we're not going to increase welfare payments every time yet another illegitimate child is born. No, sir. So I'm hardly alone in that respect. As for these wonderful family values that Mr. Gutierrez says that I should experience by becoming Mexican, why is it really, that half of the Hispanics in the United States are illegitimate. Why is it that...
Hi, sir. Dr. Gears, what do you think of illegal immigrants that are now attending college? Should they be allowed to pursue the American dream?
2 minutes.
Trustee of the Dallas County Community College, Jennifer Lewis, who has been divorced from certain parents, much less where they're going. They can't divorce their parents from their 8 or 10 or 12. Now they find themselves into the best they can for themselves. Trustee Lewis introduced the idea that the Dallas County Community College, we should allow these students to go to college at same tuition rates as regular in-resident students. Representative Noriega from Houston then picked that up and made that possible statewide. And now there is a national proposal called the DREAM Act to allow that to happen. That is the best investment we can make. These children are not going to go back. These children don't even know how to spell Tegucigalpa, much less Tepatitlan. They're raised here. They're as American as Mr. Taylor and I. They're going to stay. The best thing we can do is educate them. We're benefiting from this brain drain that we're getting. These children that could be possibly Picasso's and presidents, and not sure she's running the streets of El Paso today. This is our future. Thank you.
Mr. Taylor?
The notion that people who are here illegally should benefit from taxpayer largesse is an absurd one. And if you were to imagine it, if the shoe were on the other foot, if Americans were going to Mexico or any other Latin American country demanding, they're illegally, mind you, and demanding the same kind of treatment, would they sit still for it? Absolutely not. This is a repellent double standard. The idea that you can be here illegally and yet have more favorable treatment compared to people from out of state whose ancestors may have been here legally for hundreds of years, it's an absurdity. Once again, I ask you, imagine something equivalent in Mexico. Absolutely impossible. This is the standard refrain we hear over and over and over again. An application of double standards only to the United States. Only the United States has to make handouts to people who have crossed its border illegally. Only the United States has a border that need not be respected. Only the United States is supposed to kowtow to foreigners who come here and respect their cultures and bow down and worship them. Only the United States. Imagine going to Mexico and insisting on instruction in English rather than Spanish. You'd be laughed at, absolutely laughed at. And then this brain drain, if in fact we're getting Picassos and presidents, wouldn't they be a wonderful addition to Mexico? Isn't that where they should be contributing? If their loyalties lie with Mexico, let these Picassos, let these presidents, let these inventors, let these robotics engineers and brain surgeons stay in Mexico and help their own country. If their loyalty is south of the border, then let them flower where they were planted. No, the idea that somehow someone who has broken our laws to come here should benefit from our society, that is an abomination. And I believe if you think about it in any kind of objective terms, if you apply that standard to any other country other than the sucker who we call Uncle Sam, you'll see just how absurd it is.
It's time.
Dr.
Jairus,
2 minutes
ago. Yes. You know, this country in 1957 went into a tizzy. I remember Eisenhower was president. He had just finished instituting a mass deportation of persons of Mexican ancestry, of whom about 26 to 27% were U.S. born Mexicans. That was called Operation Putback. Something Mr. Taylor now advocates we should do. And some people, particularly of Homeland Security, are planning for this summer. And Halliburton's subsidiary, KBR, is getting the contract to build family detention centers already here in the United States. So we may get to see this again. But in 1957, the Russians put Sputnik in the air. And what did we do? We dug up the old Nazis and brought them here because we had no brain power here. We brought the Germans, particularly headed by Wernher von Braun, to get us into the space program. And before that, when we were at the Second World War, we were afraid of Japan. We brought that Jew, Oppenheimer, to help us with the atomic bomb. That is what immigrants. immigrants can do. That's what immigrants have done, and that's what these immigrants today will do in the future. Thank you.
Okay, next question. Mr. Taylor, how does the present and future current populations, namely white and Hispanic, reflect upon the views that you're representing today?
How do they reflect upon the views that I'm representing today?
Correct.
Well, I think what is particularly interesting about the population of the United States is that when Americans are polled, and this is without regard to ethnicity, 60 to 80% of Americans will tell a pollster, we've had enough immigration. We want less of it. And we certainly are sick and tired of lawbreakers walking into our country without our permission. And they're absolutely right to feel that way. As far as how Hispanics feel about that, I think we've seen an example of this. We've seen huge demonstrations in favor of illegal immigration. Fancy that. Once again, can you imagine something similar in Mexico or any Latin American country? Hundreds of thousands of people on the street demonstrating in favor of lawbreakers. Say, yes, we belong here. And despite the fact that over and over they were told, keep your Mexican flags at home, wave American flags, it doesn't look good if you got all those Mexican flags waving. An awful lot of people forgot. They came and waved those Mexican flags. So what country do they care about? What people do they care about? They care about the United States. As a matter of fact, in Dallas, not long ago, the city council was considering dumping President's Day as a holiday and instituting instead Cesar Chavez Day. Well, why shouldn't they? What do Mexicans care about George Washington? What do they care about Abraham Lincoln? For them, Cesar Chavez is more important than any American president, for heaven's sake. I think what all this reflects is the notion of whether or not the United States even has a right to exist, not just as a sovereign nation, but as a distinct culture. Mexicans appear to believe that it has no such right at all. That immigration is up to them, up to whoever decides to come. Once again, this is an astonishing double standard that they themselves would never commit. And yet somehow, the United States has no rights to say, no, we like it this way. You stay home. No, we don't have that right.
Time, sir.
All right. Dr. Gears.
I read a quote a minute ago from Mr. Taylor. Nations are biological entities, not geographic areas. Now he's arguing sovereignty. And he's saying, by hearing it, is that we as Hispanics have a loyalty elsewhere, that we are somehow un-American. I don't understand, Mr. Taylor, how you can say you have a right to a culture and to a heritage and to this country, but somehow I do not. The U.S. government says, for example, that Hispanics, which is our current language, they were racially white. Do you believe that, Mr. Taylor? Would you tell us who the real white people are? Thank you.
Mr. Taylor, 2 minutes.
The question, he's telling me that if I have a right to a heritage, then he has a right to a heritage. He has a heritage. It's in Latin America. He wants to speak Spanish. He wants to, how many Spanish words, how many Spanish place names has he said to you during the course of this afternoon? I've lost count. That's his preferred language as far as I can tell. If that's the way he thinks, if that's the way he wishes to live, if that's the way he wishes to celebrate his Easter speaking Spanish, then he has a place where he can do that. It's not the United States. All people deserve a place where they can be a majority, where they can let their heritage unfold. All of them do. Apparently, European Americans are the ones who don't have that right. Why is that? Simply through sheer numbers, apparently. Simply because they are here. We don't have a right to say, okay, this is the way we define America. No, we don't have that right. Earlier on, he was telling you about how wonderful the Nazi rocketry people were in helping us get into space. Well, for some reason, we didn't go looking for rocket scientists in Mexico, did we? I think if we went looking there today, we still wouldn't find any. I think you could look all through Latin America and not find a single rocket scientist. Whereas in Germany, you had rocket scientists 60 years ago. I think that, really, the question of a right to a heritage is a fundamental one. It is indeed a fundamental one. I don't deny anyone his heritage. I just don't want mine taken away from me. And that is precisely what increasing Hispanicization of the United States means. My heritage is taken away. My holidays are abolished. My ancestors are reviled. Should I sit still for that? Of course not. I never will. And those of you in the audience who are not Hispanic, you shouldn't sit still for it either.
It's time. Now this will be the final question of the debate. I would like to thank everyone. Give us the opportunity to ask your questions. Sorry, we couldn't get to every one of them. Dr. Gutierrez, the final question. How do you expect Mexicans to feel loyal when they are made to feel so un-American?
Same way that I have battled with my own inner rage when I've been discriminated against and called names and accused of killing gringos and whatnot. You just persevere. You say, forget them. They don't know what they do. They're paranoid. They're just sick people. Now, in his book, this is the last day. I can't resist. The Color of Crime, that's the book where all the statistics that he started with come from. Basically, the Taylor theory, this is not Alvin Ness or Carl Blumenthal or any other race constructionist. This is Taylor. He says that white people like him got big brains. Big IQ. They're not promiscuous. And the people who have color, dark skin color, we got little IQs, little brains. And we're very promiscuous and we got big genitals. So Mr. Tiny, would you explain your theory to us about this?
As I recall, the subject of the debate is Hispanicization of the United States. Now, if we wish to hold a debate on the subject of racial differences, I would be delighted to come back. And I would hope to face someone who's a little bit more knowledgeable on that subject than Mr. Gutierrez. However, the issue here is Hispanics and what they think, how they will affect the United States. Let me just give you another example. In February 15th of 1998, the U.S. soccer team and the Mexican soccer team met in Los Angeles. The U.S. team was supposed to be the home team. Well, guess what happened? Hispanics jammed the stands. They booed when the national anthem was played. They pelted the players with garbage and beer. They beat up people who cheered for the American side. And when the American team left the stands, once again, they heaped rubbish and beer and garbage in the stands. The coach of the U.S. team called it the most painful experience I've ever had in this profession. And in fact, some newspaper man called up the consul of Mexico in Los Angeles and said, well, what do you think of the fact that all these Hispanics were booing the national anthem? You know what he said? You just got to stop playing the national anthem at athletic ceremonies. Likewise, February 5th, 2004, the American Olympic soccer team was playing Canada in Zapopan, Mexico. Once again, the Mexicans booed the American national anthem. They booed every time the United States scored a goal. And at the end of the game, when the Americans walked off the field, guess what they chanted? Osama! Osama! Osama. Now, isn't that charming? They weren't even playing Mexico. They were playing Canada. But the United States get the gringo. Is this a healthy sentiment for your neighbor? Is this the kind of thing Mr. Gutierrez is talking about? Let's all get along.
It's time, sir. Gutierrez.
You reminded me often of, Mr. Taylor, that we were discussing Hispanization in the United States. You have to keep going up to Canada and to Mexico and all kinds of other countries. We discussed the topic today. I welcome you here. You raised issues about statements I made 39, 38 years ago. If any of you are interested in what was said, they're right here. We didn't come to debate that. Not debate you about that one anytime you want, anywhere you go. Maybe in Virginia, in your hometown, if you'd like. But you get to pay the expenses this time. Thank you for coming. Thank you. I hope you had a good day. Let's have more of these debates. Thank you.
We do have one final thing, 4 minutes of closing remarks from each person. The first person with his closing remarks would be Mr. Taylor. You get 4 minutes, sir.
4 minutes, all right. The question really is, what kind of United States are we going to leave to our children and to our grandchildren? And likewise in the background is the question of what is fair, what is proper, what is the kind of rule that we can apply to all nations, not just the United States, if we wish to make that a target for people who hate the United States, as those who chant Osama, Osama, Osama hate the United States. Let me ask you to imagine something. What if hundreds of thousands of black and white Americans were pouring across the border into Mexico? What if they were committing crimes at a higher rate than Mexicans, greater illegitimacy rates, going on welfare, and at the same time demanding that they be instructed in English in school rather than Spanish? Imagine that some of them were demanding ballot papers in English rather than Spanish, buying up radio and television stations, broadcasting in English. Imagine, indeed, that many of them were muttering darkly about detaching a piece of northern Mexico, kicking out all the Mexicans and establishing an all-white, an all-black, an all-English-speaking, all-Anglo territory. Do you think that the Mexicans could be tricked into thinking that this is some sort of cultural enrichment? Of course not. They wouldn't stand still for it at all. They would recognize an invasion when they saw it. They would stop it immediately, because Mexico has a healthy sense of being Mexican. So healthy, in fact, they want us to be Mexican too. Well, we don't wish to be Mexican. We don't wish to be Haitian. We don't wish to be Guatemalan. We wish to be America, because if the United States ends up with a third world population, it will become a third world country. Just look south of the border. How often do we find the things that we take for granted here and in other European-derived countries, such as representative government, free speech, freedom of the press, rule of law, all of these things we take for granted? You don't find much of it south of the border, no matter how hard you look. Our nation is being transformed through immigration. It is something the American people were not asked to vote on. It's not something they were asked to approve. It is the pusillanimity, the spinelessness of our leaders that have permitted this to happen. The whole notion of this debate, the Hispanicization of America, is a tragedy, an outrage, and an insult. What if we were talking about turning America Haitian, Indonesian, Filipino? The very idea. Once again, if you think about the United States, think about other countries. How would Nigeria, Japan, how would they like to be Hispanicized? They wouldn't sit still for it for a moment. Nations have the right to preserve themselves. Nations have an existence that goes beyond just one generation. It goes beyond just getting votes for the next election. So all of you, think clearly in terms of what this nation should be. A nation is its people, and if its people are divided, if its people have loyalties that go across the border, across the ocean, if they are not Americans, it's not a nation. It has no unity. At the present time in the United States, what if there were a serious border conflict of some kind, any kind of exterior conflict with Mexico? On which side would the Mexicans side? Obviously, with Mexico. People's deepest loyalties come out when there's an athletic contest. I ask you, Hispanics in this room, if the American team and the Mexican team meet in the Olympics, who do you root for? Well, what does that say? What does that say about your feelings? Finally, in
this
closing,
time, sir.
Once, well, let me
final,
just,
final.
Give me five.
All I'm
saying is that Americans, as Americans, we have the right to be us, and only we can be us. Thank you very much.
Dr. Gary.
Mr. Taylor, you came to profess and you you have. I hope you've had a wonderful afternoon. I started asking earlier, whose U.S. is this? Obviously, you told us that you are the people, you're the knighted people, you're the blessed people, and we are the other. It's been very clear. I got big ears, I've heard everything. I asked, whose planet is this? Now, we didn't get to that because he won't come clean. He's still hiding in that racist suit. He won't tell you about his race theories. He won't tell you about the gene pool. He won't tell you about how superior white people are, his ancestors. You read American Renaissance and find out what we had. These are dangerous times in our society because this kind of talk and this kind of writing leads to extreme hatred. Many of us were standing up for our dignity and our cultural rights and our political speech and our First Amendment freedoms have been targeted here for threats, hate mail, assassination attempts, you name it. This is who's viewing it. Now, you asked about that speech, you got that free pie, Mr. Taylor, but I'm telling you, you keep that up and I'm going to find you and sue in criminal court, and my estate is going to be paid wealthy money from your family. You're going to get to work for a Mexican together if Mark comes to my family.
Please calm down. Thank you.
Criminal court.
And civil. Don't forget the other one. So I thank you all for coming. I hope you had a good afternoon and you've learned something. Thank you.
Thank you very much.